You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
You know, I love Tennessee. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive underway. It's Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock. A little late getting on today, 3:07 on your Wednesday afternoon. And ladies and gentlemen, our long national nightmare has finally come to a close. The Big Ten is back, baby. They're back.
Wouldn't call it a long national nightmare.
It was actually kind of refreshing, wasn't it? Like, life without the Big Ten, without those whining, hypocritical babies. It's kind of nice.
Yeah. Their delusions of grandeur about where they stand in the college.
What can we do? Yeah, how could we just get rid of them altogether? We just, like, put them in the – can we just kick them off into the Canadian Football League or something?
Just send them in the Pac-12 off on their own thing. That's all they care about, that damn Rose Bowl rough. I'm about tired. I'm tired of them. I'm tired of the media people that cover them and all the smoke they blow at them. And it's just – it's ridiculous. I'm fired up today, buddy.
The Blue Check Brigade was in rare form. The Blue Check Brigade was in rare form today.
On both sides of this whole deal, I'm pissed off at all of them.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I've been this fired up in a long time. Yeah. And then you got that broad from USA Today talking about this is the darkest day.
We're not Neanderthals here. Chicks. Come on.
Skirt. How about skirt?
Man, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I don't mean that as a sexist comment.
I mean, I don't. But, I mean, you know, all I would respond to her is, you know, Greg Schiano and Jerry Sandusky, Larry Nassar.
Yes, Schiano. Rutgers hired Greg Schiano. Yes, you can put that one in there.
Yeah. The Ohio State wrestling team.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how many different sexual assault, sex abuse scandals does the Big Ten have? And to call this the darkest day?
Then we could just
decided to safely play football.
We could just have another category of Big Ten scandals. Just the Urban Meyer column. Like, we could just have that can be its own thing, right?
Oh yeah, him and his wife, whatever her name is. I mean, he had a known wife beater on his staff. You know?
Whatever happened to that guy, Zach Johnson? Zach?
Smith, I don't know.
Zach Smith.
You guys follow him on Twitter. I guess he still got his podcast.
Well, no, I haven't heard his podcast in a while. I unsubscribed
from
that.
The whole Larry Nassar thing, I mean, he systematically sexually assaulted over 100 young, you know, borderline prepubescent girls.
DJ Durkin over there at Maryland, like running his offensive lineman gassers in the 110 degree heat index sun. Yeah, that was good. But the SEC has its priorities out of those stupid rednecks down south value football above all else. We've got our priorities out of line down here. You know, I mean, we're just such a bunch of knuckle dragging, mouth breathing Neanderthals. Those dopes down south that are causing all the issues. Meanwhile, these creeps up there, they got a body count 10 stories high, the most deviant, perverted, disgusting, heinous sexual scandals you could possibly dream up and imagine. And as we said, the Urban Meyer category in and of itself. Like, yeah, you guys hired him too. At least when the SEC brought him in, we didn't really know who he was. He was young. He was this guy from Utah, boy, like this dude with a funny looking head and a funny name, and like once that thing fell apart, like Florida kind of shoved him out the door. Like, they were ready to part ways with him despite his success. It was a Big Ten school that couldn't wait to hire him. Couldn't wait. Like, yeah, come on in here, Urban. We got a job for you. Yeah, those people probably take it back.
Murders, you know. And I think it was Will Muschamp who said it was the most toxic environment he'd ever stepped into when he got that job at Florida.
Look, I don't want to come off holier than thou or anything. The SEC's got its problems, and there's certainly a seedy underbelly to Southeastern Conference football. I don't know how all the sausage is made, but I feel like I have a pretty good idea, and it's kind of gross. But the Big Ten always clutching their pearls and acting like, oh, the granddaddy of them all. Oh, we're the Harvard of the – we take student-athletes seriously. Legends and leaders. Oh, we're so special.
The Ohio State.
Oh, the Ohio State. Michigan. A Michigan man. Oh, we take our academics so seriously. It's like, no, you don't. It's a bunch of window dressing. Your phonies, your fakes, your frauds, your phonies. Nobody's buying it. Nobody cares that you're coming back. Ohio State can come. We'll put you in the playoff. You take your ass whooping like always, and you collect some prizes, and we'll send you on your way. How about that? How about that? Get your teeth kicked in by Bama or Clemson, and you we'll cut the check, but spare us the phony outrage. So the Big Ten is back. Trey Wallace, what do you think about it?
I'm pretty agitated today, Russell.
Oh, my goodness.
Pretty mad.
Angry Trey's my favorite, Trey.
Well, they done screwed up, man. They couldn't make this darn decision a month and a half ago when the SEC decided to make a decision. So then the SEC had to go conference only. And then what happened? We lost out on those amazing out-of-conference games because the SEC went conference only after the Big Ten and the Pac-12 canceled football. So the Big Ten and Pac-12 can kick rocks because they completely screwed up some fantastic out-of-conference football games for the year, and I'm just a little agitated.
It's an outrage. Trey's outraged. Bear's outraged. The outrage meter is pegging early this afternoon on the drive. Drew Nicholson, are you outraged?
No, I'm not really that.
You're okay. You're doing all right. Good.
Yeah, I'm all right.
Hey, at least somebody's calm and level-headed this afternoon. That's good. That's good. I think it's all kind of funny myself. Those folks seriously thought, it's like, look, nobody could play football this environment. What with all these young, healthy people dropping dead left and right? We'll go ahead and cancel, and that way we'll look like the reasonable ones. The SEC, those knuckleheads, the Big Ten, those fools, they'll wait until the very last minute, but they'll have to cancel inevitably because, I mean, it's just too dangerous, right? We can't play football. I mean, look around you. You can barely even breathe. And like a month later, it's like, yep, so we're playing football next week. And they're like, wait, what? What? You can't do that. It's like, yeah, actually, we're going to play. We're selling some tickets, too, man. It's going to be fun. Like, oh, well, could you guys wait up a minute? Like, maybe we could play, too. Then we can be in the playoff. Because it's like $60 million you get the front of being in the playoff. Like, you can't get it and we not get it. That would be crazy. It's pretty hysterical when you think about it. And then the icing on the cake really is they make such a big deal about player safety, and it's like, oh, well, we're going to test every day now. Player safety is the number one issue with the Big Ten. The safety of their players is paramount. They won't do anything without thinking of the safety of the players first. By the way, we're going to play 8 games in a row with no off week, no break. If you guys get beat up for a shortened preseason practice and everything, don't whine to me about it. We got to make money. We got TV inventory to fill. Oh, it's so beautiful. So beautiful. I love the Big Ten, man.
They've got a much stricter I mean, did you really read into the, you know, like their testing regimen and
no. Who cares?
I mean,
who cares? Is anybody like? Listen, I'm not a denier or anything. You know where I stand, Bear. Like, none of these guys. These guys are gonna be fine. They're gonna be fine.
Well, no, I mean, they're setting themselves up for failure. I mean, we thought the 14-day deal was bad.
Yeah. They're gonna have more people out.
Well, yeah, because they're extending 20. I just don't see how they're gonna make it through the season.
We've got local high school football scheduling change here. See where Central and Powell are going to play. They had their games. They're supposed to be playing other opponents on Friday. Carter and Halls. They had to cancel their games. And so Central and Powell, who I believe were supposed to open the season against each other, and the game was canceled because of Powell's issues. Now they're back on. Two very proud East Tennessee high school football programs going at it on Saturday. They played this one on Saturday. Throw it together last minute.
Two really good football teams doing pretty a match to be a Donnybrook.
I kind of like it, man. Yeah, let's throw it together last minute, meet in a parking lot somewhere and get it on. Let's do it. You think college teams will be able to do that? Do you think they'll be able to throw things together that last minute, that quickly? That seat of the pant? Like if...
I don't know.
If we have a game that's canceled, will they be able to throw it together in a week? I mean, if you're not if hardly anybody's going to be able to go to the games, you don't really have to worry about tickets and concessions and all that stuff as much as you normally would. As long as you can find a place to let the teams the visiting team spend the night, you can get a TV crew there. Flexibility is the name of the game.
Hey,
flexibility.
Coach Taylor played a game in a corn in a a cow field. Anything's possible.
Anything's possible.
Who? Coach Taylor.
Believe he's making a Friday Night Lights reference, Bear. You still haven't seen it.
Okay.
Best high school football coach ever.
I'll take your word for it.
We've got Josh Pate from 247 Sports is going to join us here in just a minute to help us unpack everything that's going on. The Big Ten set it up to cancel so they could say "I told you so," according to Dakota. I don't understand. Set it up so
they were thinking that the SEC was going to shut down.
Well, you know, like if we stumble out of the gates here, like they still pull the plug on that thing tomorrow, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. Abso-freaking-lutely, they will.
Baylor and Houston just threw a game together. They're playing Saturday on a whim. You know, Houston is supposed to play Memphis, and Memphis guys got on the party bus. What's
your name? Now 42 of them have it.
42 cases? Maybe they're just
help.
Yeah, maybe they're just going for the LSU herd immunity.
They just said, hey, get on this bus. Don't ask questions.
Yeah. Don't make a fuss. Just get on the bus. It's a great line from a Zappa song. Joe's Garage. You ever heard that one, Bear? Double album?
Not in a long time, Russ. If you know.
Great work, man. Great guitar work. Vinny Colaiuta on drums. Whoo! Whoo! Warren Cucurullo. Take a quick time out. It is The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Coming up, Josh Pate of 247 Sports is going to join us. We'll get his take on what's happening in the Big Ten, and we are less than 10 days out, ladies and gentlemen. 9 days and counting, or 10 days and counting. I don't know, whatever it is. You know the deal. We're close. SEC football. Jeremy Pruitt, assistant coaches, meeting with the media earlier today. We'll hear from them on your Rocky Top Report coming up here in a little bit. A lot to get to this afternoon on The Drive. Stay with us. More Fan Run Radio on the way. All right, back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Russell, Bear, Trey, cruising along with you. Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. This portion brought to you by our friends at Knoxville Smiles. Folks, don't put off your dental visits in 2020. If you've been waiting, trying to see what's happening with the virus, is it safe, all that stuff. Yes, it's perfectly safe. You hear the commercial of Dr. Malone here on the radio all the time. There's not been a single documented case of the virus being transmitted in a dental office throughout the entire year anywhere in the country. So you can rest assured, you, your family, going to be safe at Knoxville Smiles. Go get your smile taken care of. Routine dental cleanings, wisdom tooth removal, restorative procedures, Invisalign, veneers, implants. They do it all at Knoxville Smiles. Contact them today at 865-539-1776 to set up an appointment, or you can take a virtual tour online at knoxvillesmiles.com. Let's bring in Josh Pate, 247 Sports, at Late Kick Josh on Twitter. Good afternoon, Josh. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good now. It's been a busy but happy morning and early afternoon, I would say.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, and the Big Ten is taking a lot of heat today, and deservedly so. I'm looking at your Twitter feed. I think we're all on the same page with the Big Ten. But at the end of the day, everybody's got to be mad about something on social media. Everybody's got to be mad online these days. At the end of the day, though, Josh, it is more football, and that should be a good thing, right?
Well, a very good thing. And to be honest with you, I've seen a lot of folks who have kind of tried to corner a little market and niche for themselves, pointing out who you should and shouldn't be listening to, and you should be mad at this person, shouldn't be mad. Listen, if you've got enough brain power to turn on an iPhone or to turn on a computer, then you've probably got enough brain power to figure out who makes sense, who doesn't, who's got the best interest of the sport that you care about at the forefront of. It's obvious. Like, spotting the clowns out of this whole thing, it's not been that difficult. So I said that on our show. I did a little emergency hit this morning. I said, just when you think back on this, think back on who made sense, who was reliable, who was well-sourced, and who kind of fought for the sport, and then who tried to do everything other than that.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, as you said, we get eight games. It's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I think the Big Ten still has a lot of egg on its face, just the way they've handled this entire process. But to me, the big thing, Josh, is they get out there, they're going to have their championship game the way it looks the week, the day before the college football playoff is announced. So they slip in under the wire there, and we should have something approximating a college football season. Obviously, no fans, no Pac-12, but let's be honest, the Pac-12 wasn't going to have much of an impact anyway. We get our championship, our college football playoff. I'm a happy camper.
Yeah, here's the immediate concern I had, not to immediately go negative Nancy on anyone, but whether they use the word unanimous or not up there, this was far from unanimous, okay, so they can put whatever they want to on their talking point sheet they released, but they gave no wiggle room. And so they're sitting there with an eight-week season. They're going to try and play in 8 weeks, but yet they also handed out protocol that says if you test positive, you're out minimum 21 days.
Yeah.
If 5% of your roster tests positive over a one-day period, then that team is forced to hit the pause button for 7 days. And so I'm sitting here thinking to myself, it's probably, even in the best of cases, very unrealistic to think that everyone's able to thread this needle. And I'm thinking about a team like Ohio State, which is probably the only one that's involved in this college football playoff conversation. Guys, they could do everything right. And if Michigan State or Maryland can't take care of themselves, 8-0 is one thing. How are people processing a 6-0 Ohio State team versus like a 9-2 Georgia that lost twice to Alabama? That could be just fascinating conversation right there before Christmas.
Well, the College Football Playoff Committee is very transparent. I'm sure they'll be upfront and honest with us about how they make those decisions.
Yeah, every bit as transparent, as to be honest, as was the case in the Big Ten this entire time. So I think we've gotten a nice preview of what to expect there.
Josh Pate with us, 247sports.com. Josh, we are a little over a week out now from SEC football getting underway. The Big Ten has jumped back in. Just your general takeaway from the first, 2 weeks or so, the last week obviously being the first real week where we had enough college football to sink our teeth into.
Well, it was very obvious that it was Clemson and then everyone else from what we've been able to watch so far. Really interested to see this Miami-Louisville game this weekend. I was really sort of interested to see the takeaway that Notre Dame fans have from watching their team slowly and methodically take apart Duke and put them away. And the fact of the matter is, Notre Dame is flying at a higher level than all but about four or five programs in America over the last few years. So you could look at it that way. Or you could look at it the way that a lot of them are looking at it and saying, okay, but we're tired of being really, really good. Like, we really wish that we could turn on our TV one Saturday and see our offense able to stretch the field like Clemson or like Ohio State. And it's probably not going to happen this year for them is the point. But when the SEC cranks it up, I was kind of talking last night, and ironic I'm on with you guys now because I was talking about Tennessee a lot last night. The more I listen to Jeremy Pruitt talk, and the more he's very real about his concerns because of the obvious ups and downs, and mainly downs so far that they've had with COVID, you know, he said something that caught my ear. He said, we are going to have to basically take our camp into the first couple of weeks of the season. We're going to be in camp mode still, even though we're in the season. And the concern there is obvious, but I'll tell you, beneath the surface, from an intangible standpoint, the concern for me is, when do you have a football team? Like, when do you, not a collection of guys, not folks in the locker room, when do you have a team, that sort of intangible cohesion, the glue, so to speak, that synergy that exists when you have a team versus a group of individuals, whether it be Tennessee, whether it be LSU for different reasons? Some of these teams may take the field week one, week two, and look so disjointed and out of sorts, and it may just be because you haven't really had the classical sense of a full team form yet.
Do you think fans should have the usual rigid expectations? Oh, we should be a 9-3 team. This should be an 8-4 team this year. This team should win the division championship. Or because of the COVID concerns, do you think fans should take a step back and A, just be glad that we have football in the first place, and then B, recognize that you might have to adjust those expectations week to week depending on what kind of team you're able to field?
Well, here's the pushback you're going to get on that. I agree with all that, but here's the pushback you're going to get. You're going to have people say, and on the surface this is accurate, beneath the surface it's more layered, but they're going to say, okay, yeah, it was tough this year, but it was tough for everyone. It's like if you lose a game in the pouring down rain. Well, the old go-to is, it was raining for both teams, and so it was COVIDing this year, but it was COVIDing for everyone this year, so how come we got disproportionately impacted? And the reality is, it is such a case-by-case basis here, no pun intended. It's so case-by-case, based on where you are geographically, based on things that are external, totally out of your control if you're Jeremy Pruitt or maybe even those players. And so the point is, yeah, on the surface, you could say everyone had to deal with it, but even one little microscopic fractional difference in the way you dealt with it versus the way Georgia dealt with it could mean a difference in two or three games in a 10-game season. So, yeah, I hope there's some added perspective and rationale. Those are very, very rare commodities once we get to football season, though.
Trey Wallace. Trey Wallace going once. Trey Wallace. I heard him cough very loudly earlier in the – okay, Trey has – we're having issues with Trey. So, Josh, sorry, you're stuck with me for the time being. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, right, how the fans are – It is coveting on both sides of the field, as you put it, but it might not be. You might have a game. And listen, this could work in your favor just as easily as it could work against you. Who's to say Tennessee doesn't take care of business against South Carolina, Missouri, and then end up going down to Athens to take on a decimated Georgia team? Just hypothetically, COVID gets into their offensive line room, and then their defensive line gets it. You go and play a bunch of walk-ons, you could win the game. And Georgia fans will put an asterisk next to that one, but Tennessee fans won't. We'll own that.
Right. I mean, Tennessee could have said, hey, we should have a Derek Dooley asterisk down here. But I'll tell you what could happen. What could happen is, you know, as everyone, for example, looks at the situation at Tennessee right now, and they only assume negatives are going to be the ramification. Well, okay, and that's reasonable to expect, but what if they take the fielding at South Carolina, win? What if they win in week two against Missouri? And all of a sudden you're looking and they're going into Georgia and you're saying, wait a second, you want to find reason for optimism. We're 2-0. There's no reason we should have just won two football games given what we've gone through. And so as much as you talk about maybe a lack of cohesion and a lack of team synergy, Well, nothing could go further in building that team chemistry, that internal dynamic that you want to have for a successful organization, than overcoming, perceptionally and in reality, a huge obstacle in your way and going to Athens, Georgia 2-0 and looking to legitimately challenge Georgia, even if Georgia's at full strength.
Josh Pate with us at Late Kick Josh on Twitter. Josh, you mentioned Clemson earlier. How much do you put in that one? I mean, I watched the first half. That was a TKO in the first round. Is that a team that has been good for a while but has taken another step after getting defeated by LSU in the championship last year? Or are they just playing Wake Forest and we need to wait and see how they do against better opponents?
I think probably a little bit of both to unfairly answer that. But I remember, it was either last year or year before last, I remember Alabama opened against Louisville in one of those neutral site games. And I think that was the first year. That was the year after they won the title with the Tua walk-off touchdown. So, you know, they ripped Louisville to shreds, and everyone said, well, this team will ultimately be unstoppable. And in the regular season, for most of it, they were. But yet, they still got themselves taken apart, I believe, by Clemson later that season. And the point is, there were deficiencies on that Alabama team. It's just that they were so powerful, there were only a few teams in America equipped to even come close to exposing those deficiencies. Now, I'm not saying there were glaring deficiencies for Clemson in the opener against Wake, but I will say this. You know, you don't just replace what they've lost at receiver and not miss a beat. And it may be that those young guys that are insanely talented on the defensive line still end up playing like freshmen at times. You just don't get to see them potentially exposed because outside of a date at Notre Dame, November 7th, there's no game they'll be less than a double-digit favorite in. And so are there deficiencies is one question. The second question is there anyone this side of the playoff built to expose them? And if the answer is no, they're going to look like an NFL team regardless.
Last thing, Josh, we'll let you run here. Getting back to Tennessee, what's your take 10 days out on Tennessee at South Carolina, assuming there are no huge COVID, you know, star players missing because of contact tracing or anything like that? Is this a game on paper that Tennessee should expect to win?
I would lean Tennessee, yeah, I would. And I would also expect that if you watch that game, there will be, if Jeremy Pruitt has his way and Jim Chaney has his way, there will be a level of physicality about the way that offense goes about things, the likes of which you probably haven't seen to date this year if you've been watching college football. That's the way they have to win. That's the way I think they'll try and go about things. But also, as much as folks have made a habit of asking, okay, who's got a returning quarterback? Who's got a returning head coach? Who's got a returning coordinator? Those are the teams that'll win. You point to Tennessee and say, they've got all those things. And they go, yeah, but that's, I mean, come on now, that's Tennessee. That's Garantano. Like, we're talking about real quarterbacks. Okay. Well, if you, the point is, if you properly use Jarrett Garantano and then you couple him with physical, powerful running backs in that backfield and the kind of offensive line they have, it doesn't matter if you know I'm going to swing a sledgehammer at you. If you don't have the arms to stop it, it still hurts really, really bad. And if South Carolina doesn't have the manpower to stop that ground game, it really doesn't matter if they know it's coming. And that's the big question mark on South Carolina's forehead. And that's something I think I already know about Tennessee. So, yeah, I would lean Volunteers pretty solidly if I know that they are anywhere close to full strength.
Tennessee fans will be glad to hear that. Josh, always appreciate the time. He is the 247 Sports National Director of Video. And, again, you follow him on Twitter, at LateKickJosh. Josh Pate, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Yep, Josh Pate making his presence felt this afternoon on The Drive. We'll open up the phone lines to you, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. As I said earlier, a couple of Tennessee assistants, Brian Niedermeyer, Jay Graham, meeting with the media today via Zoom. We will try and hook up with Trey again coming up here in just a minute and hear what those guys had to say. Your Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Kregner Group. On the way, keep it tuned right here. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio has made the switch.
Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, Russell Bear, Trey back with you. Beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for tuning in to the show today. All right, I believe we're going to go open lines here the rest of the way. So if If you want to jump in, talk some Tennessee football, talk about the Big Ten jumping back in. Do you care about that? I sample social media because I have to. It's gotten really obnoxious here lately, mostly because politics has jumped into the sports world, so it's like unavoidable. But you have to look at the social media if you're preparing to do a three-hour sports radio call-in show.
And I use that mute feature, Russ, a lot on Twitter. The mute certain words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mute?
It's
like Trump, Biden, Republican,
yeah, Trump,
Democrat.
Biden, yeah. Just pretty much any national politician. What are some other ones on mute? But the problem is that it's filtered over, not filtered over. I mean, it's completely invaded, you know.
Well, I just when I turned on today on Facebook and Twitter, and all everybody's talking about is the Big Ten, and you know, they're coming off the top rope on them and all this stuff. And be honest, I guess, like I told Josh Pate, it's cool that they're playing. That's nice, but I'm not. It doesn't matter that much to me. The only Big Ten game I'm ever wanting to see is Ohio State, Michigan, and even that. I mean, some years don't even watch that much, to be honest with you.
Check in on that.
Maybe Penn State. Penn State and Ohio State have had some decent games through the years. I think I watched a little bit of like Illinois beating Wisconsin last year. That was a big upset. I remember watching that one. That was good. But yeah,
I just find it to be an inferior product compared to the SEC, and have for probably 20 years.
Yeah, let's get some phone calls going here. Phil is up first today on the drive. Good afternoon, Phil. What's up, Phil?
How you, Bear Broughton, Trader?
Doing well, thanks.
Well, the Big Ten is going to start playing. That's pretty cool, you know.
The Big Ten is back. Football season can go on, Phil. I didn't know if we were going to make it there for a minute.
I mean, all Arsenal only got one team that's any good, and that's Ohio State, or the Ohio State.
You think Penn State's for real?
No. And what's Franklin done? The bridesmaid to Ohio State every year?
Seems like he's turned them into a perennial, like, 9-win team. Do you think Penn State under James Franklin is better off than we are under Jeremy Pruitt right now? Like, if we played a neutral site game this weekend, Tennessee-Penn State.
I take him in a heartbeat all the way out now. But, I mean,
really?
Beggars be choosers. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But y'all know the real reason. Y'all know the real reason why the Big Ten – the reason the Big Ten shut down was Donald Trump, and the reason they're going back is Donald Trump.
No, it's all political. Get the hell out of here. No, it's not.
I can't get away from on social media now on the radio show. It's on the phone calls, too. Can I mute certain words out of Phil, Bear?
It's the truth, though.
That'd be nice. No, it's not.
Just because you say it is don't mean it is.
Phil, if the and I'm guessing you believe that those folks up there would like to see Trump lose the election.
I would say a lot of them up there would like to see him lose the election.
Okay, so if that's your thesis, then why would they be playing, thus giving him a victory?
that's pretty funny, you know. It's because the polls are changing. That's the reason they did it.
The polls are changing.
Yeah, he's making gains in the battleground states of the Big Ten, Ohio, Wisconsin, Minnesota.
So they're going to decide to play, and then he can take credit for it and make him look better.
That's exactly what it's all about, right there.
So you're not making any sense. You say that they want to help.
Plenty of sense.
They want to help Trump.
Yeah, the SEC is pro Trump.
No, the Big Ten is the one that's playing today. You say by playing and giving him a political victory, they're helping him.
It's helping him. He can go in and say he put pressure on that Big Ten commissioner.
But if they don't like Trump, then why would they play? Why wouldn't they just say, no, we're not going to play, and we're going to blame
that
you?
The governor of Michigan was the key to the whole thing, because she did not want to play.
Cool.
But they put the pressure on all those Big Ten presidents, and they caved in. in the end, big money and boosters won out over Ultra List.
Well, we can agree there. I mean, I think it is about the money. When they see that football is about to be played and people, they're going to be TV networks are going to be cutting checks and they can either have one or not have one, then I think they decided they'd rather have
one. And the Ohio State University would be sitting at the house. That's another thing. And they didn't want that. The Ohio State University.
The Ohio State University.
That guy you had on there said Notre Dame was about the fifth best program around. I mean, what was he smoking? Notre Dame couldn't even be in top five in the SEC.
I think they're pretty good, but yes, I think that was overstating.
They don't even have a quarterback. They got a Gitmo that can run a little bit. Did you see him play against Duke?
Phil, what do you have for lunch, Phil? I mean, like
a few beers.
Crystal meth sandwich
I'm
or something?
I'm going for my opinion. How about that? Put that in your pipe and smoke it, W.
Phil, put this in your pipe and smoke it. Hit the bricks. Get wet, Phil.
Get him out of here. That's one of his all-time dumbest calls. What a moron.
That's an early
dunk. He's my buddy, but he's a moron.
Connor is next on the drive. Phil hammered at 3:49 on a Wednesday. That's interesting. Good afternoon, Connor. You're on the Fan Run Radio, the drive, whatever this is called. Go ahead, sir.
What do you say, W?
What do you say, Connor?
I say that is probably one of the most off-the-rails Phil calls I've ever seen in this radio station before.
He's in rare form.
I didn't come close to that meltdown he had before the 16 Florida game. I thought he was.
That was his story.
We ain't going to win. You know, not know it.
What word was it? He spelled out that call. N-E-V-E-R, never. Was that it?
I don't remember verbatim, but that sounds about right.
Hey, I've been thinking. So ever since Greg Sankey looked out across the sea and saw the endless mix of, you know, the Big Ten Conference, the Pac-12 Conference being, you know, not wanting to play and just, you know, being all anti going with what everybody wants to do about it. And along with them, it's just an endless amount of, like, bottom-rate sports writers on Twitter. Greg Sankey looked out into that sea, said, you know, we've gone this far. I'm not going back. Parted the sea and carried his disciples to the promised land of football. Do you think that Greg Sankey and the SEC are the most powerful person and conference in the whole entire landscape of college football now?
Well, there's no doubt that the SEC is the tail that wags the dog when it comes to college football. And make no mistake, if the SEC had folded and said, we're not playing college football, the Big Ten wouldn't have even had these conversations. It would have been a moot point. The only reason the Big Ten's playing is because the SEC is playing. The only reason the ACC and the Big 12 are playing is because the SEC is playing. So, yes, this conference does run the sport. There's no doubt about that. But I think Greg Sankey has proven himself a competent commissioner and a good stewardship, a good steward of the guys that came before him. But I mean, it's still early in his tenure. I think he's a smart guy, and he's kind of just keeping this car on the road at this point. I mean, he got handed the keys to a Ferrari with the directions, just don't wreck this thing, and so far he's done that.
I agree 100%, and, you know, that's the logical way of putting it. The way I put it is that the conference with the better food, the better teams, and the better-looking women obviously won out. Appreciate it, fellas. Have a good one.
Thank you, Connor. Appreciate the phone call.
That was really good.
865-546-8200. By the way, the Pac-12 continues to wave the white flag. Now, if you want to get political, I mean, they are in a more political state. And I saw their commissioner released a statement today basically saying, yeah, we'd like to play, but with the situation in California and Oregon, that's just not going to happen.
I mean, you think half the West Coast is currently burning down.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even think it's political out there. I mean, Literally, the day, California and Oregon are on fire.
Well, he was saying that basically the local ordinances down there, like they couldn't even practice, which, I mean, I agree with you. I talked to a buddy of mine in L.A. earlier in the week, and he said he went out to jog. He went out for a jog a couple of days ago just because he had to get out of the house and couldn't even make it a mile before he had to turn around, and he said he's been, like, coughing uncontrollably ever since. So, I mean, that's – And that's just like a regular dude out there. So college athletes, you don't want to be outside practicing and certainly playing in this kind of situation.
You can't be scared of forever. You got to practice. You got to play.
Where are you going to practice? Play.
Well, they have indoor facilities for that.
You're going to play games indoor?
Well, everybody in the Pac-12 is not living in California.
Yeah, but how many? Let's see, California and Oregon. You got Oregon, Oregon State, USC, UCLA,
Stanford,
four of the 12, Stanford,
Cal.
Five.
So you got six. Yeah, I mean, six of those schools are going to be impacted. I don't know what
half
it's like
the conference.
In Washington. Yeah, I just don't.
I mean, they're saying it's the absolute worst air quality on the planet right now. I don't know if you've seen the drone video, Trey, but the sky's orange in the middle of the day.
No, I've seen it. I get it. I understand.
Trey just wants to go out there, like, find some oxygen packs or something and get out there and play.
Thanks, Russ.
It doesn't seem practical for them to be able to play. Although, I did see where USC players sent – the governor a letter and said, hey, we want to play. So I guess maybe the thought is you could go ahead and let them practice in the California, Oregon schools, the coastal schools can practice indoors somewhere in gyms or something. I mean, you can't do that. They can find places to practice. It wouldn't be ideal. But if the players want to and the coaches want to, you could do that with the thought that maybe in a month or so, temperatures cool off, the air quality improves, and you could actually play. But seems like a gamble to be sure. Stay with us. Hour number two of the drive coming up. Bear will have your top four at four. Stay tuned. More of your phone calls on the way as well. It is the drive. It is Fan Run Radio. It is a Wednesday afternoon edition of the show, and we're back with more right after this.
The Drive.